We'll continue with chapter 85, the chapter. And the chapter will finish we'll go from verses 45 to 59. So we'll begin with verse number 45. Please be merciful to me, so I may get out of the blind well of family life, my false home, and find the true shelter of your lotus feet, which selfless sages always seek. Then, either alone or in the company of great saints, who are the friends of everyone, I may wander freely, finding life's necessities at the feet of the universally charitable trees. Yogi, want to read this?
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states that in response to Bali's prayers, Sri Krishna invited him to choose some benediction. And in this verse, Bali submits his request. Bali begs to be relieved from the entanglement of material life, so he will be free to leave home and wander in the wilderness with only the Lord's lotus feet as his shelter. For his subsistence, Bali proposes he will take help from the forest trees, at whose feet are fruits to eat and leaves to sleep on, and for all to use as needed. As if the Lord is especially merciful to him, and if the Lord is especially merciful to him, Bali hopes he will not have to wander alone, but will be allowed to travel in the company of Lord Krishna's devotees.
Any points?
Just thought of something. When you ask for the association of devotees, we often talk about how that's really good to help us with our devotion. It propels us. But it's also, just reading that, I just felt for a moment that because Krishna loves his devotees so much, it's like, you know, when someone has a child and you love their child, it gives them so much more pleasure than you being nice to them. So asking for the association of devotees also pleases Krishna because he loves his devotees. And if we're with them, being friends with them or genuine, then it's also beautiful. Mm. And if we love them, it's even better.
Good. Anything else?
Krishna is again telling Vayavas to ask for any prediction. Already as a Vamana Deva has given a prediction, making him in the next life, we can make him into such a personal prediction. And he says that he will be the doorkeeper for him. So again, he's saying that I can give you some other prediction.
Anything else?
So, I have a question. Why is it fully surrendered to Lord Krishna? And Lord Krishna, Vamanadi is in the entrance of Bali Maharaj's palace. Still he is very much highly renunciate, now what he says. So what is the necessity for him to go into the forest and then think of Lord Krishna?
That's a natural feeling which comes.
So he wants to fully renounce or get realized?
Yeah, a devotee feels that way.
Wander in the forest?
Yeah, it means Vanaprastha. Anything else? So, the Vanashram system is for those who are materially conditioned. So we go through Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Now, not everyone goes through all four. Only Brahmanas go through all four. Or quite often Brahmanas will go straight from Brahmacharya to Sannyas. They don't go through the two noble ashrams. So a Brahmana can go through all four ashrams. A Kshatriya only goes through three. He doesn't take Sannyas. Kshatriyas only go to the forest. Like Dhritarashtra, that past one is given in the first canto, he went to the forest. And Yudhishthira, they walked off to the forest, to the Himalayas. So the Kshatriyas will only take three, and the Vaishyas only two ashrams. They're Brahmacharis and Grihasthas. Vaishyas don't take Vanaprastha or Sannyas, and Shudras, they're only Grihasthas. They never go through Brahmachari ashram in the traditional sense. Sutras don't have any training in Brahmachari ashram. So they only have one ashram. Vaishyas have two, Kshatriyas have three. And Brahmanas can have up to four. So that is the system. The Varnashram system means as long as we identify with the material body, then we need Varnashram. If you don't identify with the material body, you don't need Varnashram. No, you don't need to. So Lord Chaitanya says, Gopi Bha, Tupada Kamala, Yodasa, Dasa, and Dasa. I don't need any of those things. Because he is beyond. He's on the spiritual platform. But if you're not on the spiritual platform, then you have to go through. So the most common ashram is the Grihastha ashram. More Grihasthas in this temple than anything else. Too many. Everywhere you look, Grihastha, Grihastha, Grihastha. What's wrong with Brahmacharis? Not so many. So many Grihasthas. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Grihastha ashram is a good ashram for devotees in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada explains there is the sure way and the safe way. The sure way is you say renounce Brahmacharya and then Sannyas. It's like sure way back to Godhead. But the safe way back to Godhead is Grihastha Ashram. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's good for devotees in Kali Yuga because it's safe for them. So it means you're attached to the body, then you can purify yourself in a regulated way. Then gradually you become purified of material attachments. Now, if you go through a Grihastha ashram for 25 years, so, you know, you're supposed to go in there at around about the age 25 and come out about the age 50. You know, have your kids and everything like that. If you go through 25 years of Grihastha ashram, you should be renounced. You should be feeling renunciation. You should be feeling like I want to be a sannyasi. Just have your eyes on the dunda. And at the end of it, you just want to renounce. You just want to go to the forest. You just want to simplify things. You just want to dedicate your life fully to Krishna. That should be the meditation. The point is that if you go through Grihastha ashram, but at the end you don't feel renounced, then you've failed. Then you have to go back and do it again. Take birth again, go through family life again. And you should be feeling renounced. Detached. If you're not feeling detached, then you miss the whole point. Even husband and wife can stay together. That is Vanaprastha, actually. Vanaprastha means wife and husband still together, but they're detached from the material side of the relationship. It means they're not attached to each other based on the body. It's a spiritual union. It's a spiritual partnership. They practice Krishna consciousness and they preach together. So that has to, you have to become elevated through that. That's the system. You go through gradually and then become detached by the end. So then Bali Maharaj said, I want to do that. That's why he's feeling like this. I just want to leave family life, material responsibilities. Material responsibilities, there's too many. Right? Wife. It's a lot of big responsibility having a wife. Or having a husband. Big responsibility. Right? Having kids. Big responsibility. Having to earn an income. Having to pay your mortgage. All these things. So a lot of work. A lot of energy. A lot of headache. At the end of it, you should become detached. So then what does the devotee think at the end? The devotee thinks, like Bali Maharaj is saying, I just want a simple life. Should be feeling like that as a grihastha. I just want simplicity.
I just want Krishna. I just want Krishna.
Yeah, at the end. That should be the prayer. But the devotee wants to live in this world in a simple way. A devotee just wants simplicity. The nature of grihastha life is that pumsa, striya, majuni bhava metam, hridaya granti mahu. Hridaya granti means it creates a hard knot in the heart. Pumsa striya means the attraction between the sexes. It creates a hard knot, which is very difficult to break within the heart. Now, the nature of the ashram is stri. That's the name for the woman, stri. Stri means to expand. That's the nature. Then when you get married, then there is expansion. You know, suddenly you need more things, and then more things, and then extra things, and then so many. Then you have to get insurance to protect all the things. It's like, and it just goes on and on and on. It becomes complicated. But a devotee wants to go the other way. Especially after the expansion, you get that out of your system, the material desires, you fulfill them a little bit. Then you want to decrease. So especially if you've been, if you're a young grihastha, okay, enjoy yourself, like the king of heaven, right? Expand your empire. But after some time, you'll feel like decreasing. When your hair becomes grey, not you in particular, but if your hair's becoming grey, that's what it means. If you look at yourself in the mirror and your hair's becoming grey, right? What does that mean? Right, it's winding up. Right, it's not increasing. It means you're in the second half of life. It means now it's like simplify things. Don't increase things. Don't complicate things. And you better be sure your life partner is on the same page as you. When you choose someone to marry, you have to make sure their first priority is Krishna consciousness. Not that they're just wanting more and more material facility. Because what is the point of that? You need someone who is renounced, detached. Someone who wants to go back to Krishna in this lifetime. So a devotee wants simplicity. And then, Bali Maharaj says, and I just want the association of devotees. Right? Just a simple life, associate with devotees, bus, that's it. That's all a devotee wants. Live simply. Prabhupada said simple living, high thinking. Right? Preach Krishna consciousness, associate with devotees, that's enough. That's what Bali Maharaj wants. Because he, at the moment, he's ruling Sutala. He's ruling a whole planet. And it's a big responsibility. He just wants to renounce. Pandu, father of Arjuna, and Yudhishthira, the Pandavas. He just renounced everything. He went to the forest. Even when he was still the emperor. He just went to the forest. Said, if you need something, just come and get me. You know, if there's a big problem, just come. He let the Brahmanas rule. And he said, I'll go to the forest. He said, you know, if you have a problem, you know, someone's attacking, come and get me and I'll come out. Otherwise, he just wanted a simple life, just associate with the devotees, that's all. So we should be feeling like that. If you're going through grihastha life, you're not developing detachment, there's something wrong. Yeah? Material life is not for enjoyment. It's for renunciation. So, any points?
Bali Maharaj knows that he's going to be the Indra in the next kalpa, right? So why is he talking about renunciation? He's going to be Indra in the next.
Sometimes devotees have to do the services out of obligation, or like a Priyavrata. Priyavrata Maharaj went to the forest, he had to come back and rule the universe. Sometimes devotees have to do those things.
And I guess maybe, is it perhaps that to be qualified to do that, you need to be completely renouncing?
That's the best.
To be the servant of the Lord to that extent.
Yeah, that's the best.
May I just ask you one thing? Would you like some stretches because you were coughing?
I'll have one at the end of the class. Yeah, I can't chew on it while I'm talking. Thank you so much. May Krishna bless your stretches. Any other points?
Also, all children are automatically brahmacharya ashram, right?
Children?
Yeah. I think they become married or not.
Yeah.
So,
kind of.
In that sense, we've got lots of brahmacharya now.
Yeah, but they're not really brahmacharis. They just run around and cause trouble. So. Brahmacharya is a little bit more serious. Any other point?
He says he wants to eat the fruit that's already under the tree, so it's something that's fallen already.
Yeah, then there's no karma.
There's no karma, and it's almost like he's completely asking for the Lord's shelter. Mm. So if there's a fruit under the tree, the Lord has deigned that he can eat it.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah, complete dependence on Krishna. I couldn't eat just fruit, though. I couldn't do it. I could do it for one day. After that, I couldn't do it. And just for, I couldn't do it. No question. Any other point?
All the children who recite all the Srimad Bhagavatam verses in the class, the two Krishnas, Hayagriva, and everybody, they're all brahmacharya, right?
Not brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means all you do all day is serve Krishna, but not really. They kind of like brahmacharis.
These kids are all dedicated kids.
It's true. Yeah. They're in training. Whether they put on saffron and move in the ashram, we'll see. But yeah, they're in training. O Lord of all subordinate creatures, please tell us what to do and thus free us of all sin. One who faithfully executes your command, O Master, is no longer obliged to follow the ordinary Vedic rites. Jagannath Ram, please.
The Acharyas explained Bani's thoughts as follows. Reflecting on the possibility that his request for immediate deliverance may have been too bold, Bani Maharaj considers that first he will need to become sufficiently liberated. In any case, he thinks Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram must have come to him for some specific purpose. If he can receive the Lord's order and carry it out, that will be his best opportunity for purification. Indeed, as Bali states, a devotee acting under the personality of Godhead's instructions need no longer follow the sacrificial intentions and prohibitions.
Any other points?
Bali Maharaj wants to, is eager to serve the Lord, so he is trying to understand why the Lord has come. And as if the Lord may ask him that, what's your qualification to serve me? In his severity, Bali Maharaj is saying that with sin, he cannot serve the Lord. And he also knows that by serving the Lord, then only that's only we are washing away the sin. In humility, he is eager to serve the Lord.
Anything else? Okay. So, how do we become purified in Krishna consciousness?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Very good. But I'm basing it on this book. What is mentioned?
Sarvasya.
Yeah. But even more specific.
Sarvasya.
Following the instructions of the spiritual master. That's how you become purified in your Krishna consciousness. If you do not follow the instructions which are given by your gurus, you have Diksha Guru, but then you have Shiksha Gurus also. Vandeham, Sri Gurun, Sri Yuta Pada Kamala. So Sri Gurun means plural, more than one guru. The main guru is the Diksha Guru, because he's the main Shiksha Guru. But then there are many Shiksha Gurus, people who you take instruction from. You become purified when you follow the order. If you don't follow the order, right, of the guru, then you do not become purified. Now, this is the essence of spiritual life. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. So this verse, practically it's one of the most famous verses in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said the secret to success in spiritual life, right, is following the order of the spiritual master in the comments. That is how we become purified. You have to follow. If you don't follow the order of the guru, you do not become purified in your Krishna consciousness. So one must follow. Now, the guru's instructions, there are different ways that he instructs us. He gives you specific instructions, which are just for you. But then there are generic instructions, which means you listen to a lecture, and then the guru speaks, and then you hear the instruction, and the instruction is there. So you must follow the instruction, and you may get specific instructions, which is just given specifically to you from the guru. And then there is Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada is our main Shiksha Guru for all of us. Right? So Prabhupada's books, all the instructions, they are for us. You have to follow. This is how you become purified in spiritual life. You don't become purified unless you follow the instructions. And the better you follow the instructions, the more you become purified. Srila Prabhupada even says, even if you cannot fulfill the instruction, just by meditating on fulfilling the instruction, you become purified. That's a very powerful statement. Even if you can't fulfill the order of the guru, but if you meditate constantly on fulfilling that order, you get purified as much. It doesn't mean when you say, okay, I'm just going to do manasa seva. I'm just going to meditate on the order of my guru. I won't actually fulfill the order, I'll just meditate on it. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to endeavor, but sometimes you can't. Prabhupada was ordered to go to the West, right? 1922. Prabhupada didn't go till 1965. That's 43 years. But he meditated on the order, right? And became purified, qualified, and then went. Right? That's an example. Prabhupada also says, the instruction, when you get the instruction from the guru, you also get the potency to fulfill the instruction. So if you get an instruction from the spiritual masters, that purifies you, right? And you are given the potency to fulfill the order. The potency is not coming from us, it's coming from the blessings. If the guru blesses you, then you can fulfill the order. Otherwise, it's not possible. So that is the system. That's how you become purified and spiritual. Any points?
Well, all action starts in thought. Yeah. So when you're meditating on it, you're preparing yourself for it and the plan. And it makes the action actually possible.
Yeah. The Supreme Lord said, during the age of the first Manu, the sage Marichi had six sons by his wife Urna. They were all exalted demigods, but once they laughed at Lord Brahma when they saw him preparing to have sex with his own daughter. Because of that improper act, they immediately entered a demoniac form of life, and thus they took birth as sons of Hiranyakashipu. The goddess Yogamaya then took them away from Hiranyakashipu, and they were born again from Devaki's womb. After this, O king, Kamsa murdered them. Devaki still lamented for them, thinking of them as her sons. These same sons of Marichi are now living here with you.
Acharyas Sridhara Swami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti explain that after taking Marichi's six sons from Hiranyakashipu, Lord Krishna's Yoga Maya first made them pass through one more life as children of another great demon, Kalinda, and then she finally transferred them to the womb of Devaki.
Any points?
We guard ourselves against offenses towards the enemy. Not Brahma,
Yeah, good point. Anything else?
Lord Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he basically said, can see the past, present, and future, and he actually narrated what births they took before, and so he brought it up to this level. This shows his superiority.
Yeah, good. Awesome. Anything else? So, if you commit offenses, there will be reactions. You have to understand that. That's spiritual life. If you commit aparada, you will get reactions. You have to be very careful about committing offenses. Especially if someone is senior. You have to be very careful about committing offenses. We've all committed offenses before, but you have to be very careful. And when you commit offenses, you have to rectify the offense. You have to go to the devotee who you offended, and you have to say, you know, we all do that sometimes. You know, sometimes someone's a junior devotee. But you say something, you do something, they become upset, then you have to go. And you have to say, please forgive me. I did not mean to do like that. No one is so important that they cannot practice humility and beg for forgiveness. Sometimes Krishna will test you. Are you willing to become humble, even to someone who's a junior devotee? And you go to them and you beg forgiveness. Are you willing to do that? So we have to see. So if there is some offense committed, you have to rectify the offense. Go to the person and say, please forgive me, and then rectify, offer obeisances. Then the offense will be forgiven. Now here we see very nicely the history of reincarnation, transmigration of the soul. These personalities were it mentions three births that they had. They were born as Hiranyakashipu's kids. Then, sons of Kalanemi. Then, they came with Devaki's sons. So there's history here. The acharyas actually discuss, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions, there are even descriptions, various descriptions, who they were born from and like that. So, in this material world, by the power of Maya, we think of Ahamma Metti. These are my children. This is my family, like that. We think like that. All of us think like that. But then, realistically, if someone told you, actually, your kids in the previous life were this and this and this, how would you feel? It might change the perspective of how we see the kids. And you think, oh, they're my kids, but then they were someone else's kids. But we always have this concept that everything is belonging to us in the material world. And that's what binds us to the material world. But actually, if you see things in perspective, then everyone is just coming for a short period of time. And you're attached to your family and your relatives now, but then all that changes. And your next life, you'll have a new set, and then you'll be very attached to them. And then if someone shows you, oh, this was your family in the previous life. Imagine right now, if you saw the family you had last time, you wouldn't have any attachment. But in your previous life, you were so attached to them. But if we showed you, oh no, this is who you were related to, so I'm not attached. Now I'm attached to this lot. No? But this is all temporary. This is how Maya tricks us. So we get it completely absorbed and involved. And we think this is the end all be all of existence. So it is aham mimeti, I am mine. There's material consciousness action. So devotees have to have the balance. We have to be affectionate to our family, look after them, but at the same time, do not see it as being the ultimate shelter. Everything is fallible, soldiers. Bhagavatam says, Atmasanyeshwa satsvapi. Everything in this world, they are fallible soldiers. They cannot protect you at the time of death. No one can protect you at the time of death. Only one person can protect you at the time of death.
Krishna.
Yes, I think it is Krishna. Krishna Chandra Bhagavan Ki. Jai Ho Krishna. Any points? Okay. We wish to take them from this place to dispel their mother's sorrow. Then released from their curse and free from all suffering, they will return to their home in heaven. Okay, there's a little purport there, so. Would have a bundle of people? You'd like to read the purport?
As pointed out by Srila Prabhupada in his purport to chapter 2, text 5 and 8, this canto, Mariti's sons were condemned for their offense against Lord Brahma. And in addition, Kanyakas, who once cursed them, to be killed by their own father in future life. This curse was fulfilled by Vasudeva's letting Kamsa murder them one by one.
Any points?
In the fifth canto, when we are studying, we talked about previous one and Venus one. The upper heavenly planets and lower heavenly planets. So if people, you were explained at that time, people who don't have fire, they go to the lower heavenly planets. But they might have done a lot of good karma. But don't expect the lower heavenly planets. They attain the lower heavenly planets. Yeah, we see that these people, obviously, they are against the Lord. They are not very favorable to Vaishnavas. They laughed at Brahma and they didn't show. So they had, but because they had, their Lord Krishna has seen them, they are being rewarded at least with the lower end. So it is not the upper heavenly planets they are doing. And Bali Maharaj is serving them, so they are there. Yes.
Hiranyakashipu, why did he curse his sons?
Who?
Hiranyakashipu once cursed them to be killed by their own father in the future life.
I can't remember the details, but there was some past time where he did like that.
Here it shows that Kamsa was Karanam in the previous day. Very important.
Yeah, it's, it goes back. And then the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, he gives different possibilities about who they could have been born from. And so it goes right back. It's like a whole pastime. So unless we're connected to Krishna, things do not become purified. Our families do not purify us. Right? Nothing in the material world purifies us. Actually, everything in the material world contaminates your consciousness. That's the nature of matter. Right? It makes you contaminated. It makes you forget Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, the injunction which is there for every devotee is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Material energy is the opposite. Always forget Krishna, never remember Krishna. That's what the material world is for, to distract us. Ahushaka hinantascha. Material world will give you so many options to forget Krishna. And she is expert. She will show you so many different ways that you can forget Krishna. So, how do we remember Krishna? Everything has to become connected to Krishna. Nibandha Krishna? Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchit. If something cannot be connected to Krishna, then we renounce it. If something can be connected to Krishna, it will purify us. So then how does Grihastha life purify us? You have to connect your Grihastha ashram to Krishna. You have to see your husband as Krishna's servant. You have to see your wife as Krishna's servant. It's not easy to do these things. You have to see the children as Krishna's servants. Most of the time they just drive you a little bit crazy. You have to see them as Krishna's servants and engage them in Krishna's service. That's not easy because they don't want to do it. Sometimes they're enthusiastic about everything except Krishna. Not so easy. Some of you have young kids, you just have to wait till your kids get a bit older. And then you shall see. Then you will have vijnana. Realization. Because every living entity has their own path. So then you have to engage them in Krishna service. That's not easy to do. That's how everything becomes purified.
So the way these devotee children were cursed to be killed by their father.
Yeah.
Is it possible that all the babies that get aborted are also similarly cursed?
All the what?
All the babies that get aborted by parents are similarly cursed to be killed by their parents?
Maybe not cursed, but it means it's negative karma. Because you are doing bad karma, bad karma.
On the parent side, or on the children side from the previous life?
Children from the previous life.
And the parents are also creating new karma now.
Yeah, then they're creating more karma. By my grace, these six, Mara, Udgita, Parishvanga, Patanga, Shudurabrit, and Grini, will return to the abode of pure saints. Dinadaya, you want to?
These are the names the six children first had when they were son of Milk. The oldest, Mara, was called Pritiman. When born again to Vasudev as recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.157, Vasudev was very much disturbed by the fear of becoming a liar by violating his promise. Thus, with great pain, he delivered his firstborn son, named Kirtiman, into the hands of Kansa.
So, any points?
I think it's cool that verse at that part in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
The beginning of the 10th canto.
The beginning. Was it there?
Yeah.
That kept, you know,
the name? Everything was there. Okay. Any other point?
Is this because of the fact that this aparad being committed against Lord Brahma, the fact that they laughed at him? And then they suffer the consequences of the reactions to skip going.
If you don't clear the offense, yeah.
So it's not a karma as such, it's an aparad that they've committed.
Yeah. That's why you have to, when aparads come, then you have to clear the aparad. Mm-hmm. You have to go and beg forgiveness. Aparads, they can have serious consequences on our spiritual life. So you have to clear. If there's some problem there, then you have to go and clear. Any other point? So, Krishna will test us to see if we're maintaining our integrity. Vasudev promised that he would give the children to Kamsa. Right. This shows his integrity. makes a promise and then keeps the promise. Now, this is becoming more and more rare in Kali Yuga. Devotees should not be like this. Krishna will test us. He tests each of us to see, do we maintain our integrity, even in difficult circumstances? Or do we change what we say we're going to do just because things become difficult? Sometimes as devotees, we might be tempted to do that. You go through something difficult, and then, while you're going through that difficult thing, then you don't maintain your promise. But Krishna will test us to see. Actually, it's one of the qualifications to go back into the spiritual world. You can't go back into the spiritual world unless you're willing to maintain your integrity under all circumstances. So it will be a test. Now the Bhagavatam says there are circumstances that you can lie. So if someone wants to kill your kids, then okay, then do whatever you have to do. Even if you have to tell lies to protect them all. You can do those things. Bhagavatam said there are certain circumstances that you can lie. To protect someone's life or something like that, you can do it. There's no reaction.
Why did Vasudeva and Devaki go through that killing of their children?
Why did they go through?
Yeah. Why did they have to go through that their children have to be killed?
In Madhurya Kilambini, then Vishnu Chakravarti explains that the Pandavas went through so many difficulties. They had their children killed, so many things, but there was no karma. This was just, they were being made examples of to teach us how we should behave in difficult circumstances. So if a pure devotee goes through things, it's not karma. It's to teach us.
They have to wait for Krishna to come. They have to wait for Krishna.
Any other point?
You had also explained that during that section that these are personifications of that standard. So unless all that is killed, Krishna will not give darshan.
Six enemies. I knew you would say that. I was preparing Vasudeva and they came up my mind. I think I won't say it. I thought Jagannath Ram will say it.
Jai Jagannath.
Jai Jagannath Ram. Good to have you back. Any other points? Shukadeva Goswami continued, after saying this, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, having been duly worshipped by Bali Maharaj, took the six sons and returned to Dwarka, where they presented them to their mother. When she saw her lost children, goddess Devaki felt such affection for them that milk flowed from her breasts. She embraced them and took them onto her lap, smelling their heads again and again. Lovingly, she let her sons drink from her breast, which became wet with milk just by their touch. She was entranced by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu that initiates the creation of the universe. So, Alia, what do you
mean? In the opinion of Srila Jiva Goswami, the word Srishti can here also refer to the creative process by which Lord Vishnu's Yoga Maya arranges the settings and situations of his pastime. There is indeed no question of Mother Devaki being affected by the material aspect of the mind.
Any points? Yeah, Prabhupada makes this point. When a pure devotee is being affected, it's always yoga maya. We have to understand this. Prabhupada makes this point in regards to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. when the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Right? So it says in the beginning that Arjuna became bewildered. Shishastehaṁ satimam tvam prapannam. Arjuna says, now I am a disciple surrendering to you, please instruct me. He was bewildered. So Lord Krishna sometimes will cover a devotee in order to perform particular service. But we should understand, Arjuna was not covered by Mahamaya. It wasn't that he was materially confused, but Krishna spiritually covered him so that he could speak the Bhagavad Gita. So many examples of that. So when a pure devotee appears to be going through something, it is under, it is the arrangement of Yogamaya, the internal potency. Just like Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma came and stole the cowherd boys, that was the influence of Yogamaya. He became bewildered so that Krishna could perform the pastime. It's not always like that. When Indra became proud, that wasn't Yogamaya, that was Mahamaya. So it can be both, but a pure devotee, it is Yogamaya. We have to understand that. It's a pastime of the Lord. Any points?
Can a normal person like us be affected by Yogamaya? Does it work the other way around as well?
No, it means that only Yogamaya refers to the internal potency or devotional service. So all of us are touched by the internal potency, Devi Prakriti, but we're not, you know, we can't say it's fully Yogamaya.
No, of course. Another
maybe a little bit.
With the Mahamaya, that's like people, for people who are influenced by the three modes of nature. Are the people that in the spiritual world that are under Yogamaya, are they ever influenced by the three modes of nature? Never.
You can only become influenced when you come to the material world. When you leave Krishna's service, then you become. Any other point? By drinking her nectarian milk, the remnants of Lord Krishna, the remnants of what Krishna himself had previously drunk, the six sons touched the transcendental body of the Lord, Narayana, and this contact awakened them to their original identities. They bowed to Govinda, Devaki, their father, and Balaram. And then, as everyone looked on, they left for the abode of the demigods. So, Neeraj, would you like to read the purport?
Lord Krishna remained as an infant with Devaki and Vasudeva for only a very short time. First the Lord appeared before them in his four-armed Vishnu form, and after hearing their prayers, he changed himself into an apparently ordinary infant for their pleasure. But to save Krishna from suffering his brother's fate, Vasudeva at once removed him from Kansa's prison. Just before Vasudeva took him away, Mother Devaki chuckled Krishna once so that he would not feel thirsty during the long trip to Nanda Braj. This we learn from the commentary of Srila Krishna Chaturvedi Thakur.
Any points?
The Lord is so merciful.
Yeah.
Even to people who have done the wrong thing.
First of all, Charanamrita. Shows the power of Charanamrita. Even the water of the Ganges purifies only after prolonged use. But Charanamrita immediately reveals one's spiritual enemy. It has the power to use. See the power. Something happened years back ago and now we are making that happens.
Yeah, there's the benefit of taking prasad. We can never underestimate taking prasad.
Wow.
Sometimes we don't take prasad.
Mm-hmm.
So Sometimes the writers have cornflakes. Wheat Bix.
Today we have cornflakes Mahaprasad at 7 o'clock.
Which one?
7 p.m. Mahaprasad was cornflakes children.
Was it? Whether or not they can even be offered to Krishna, I don't know. If something's cooked by the non-devotees, then whether or not we can offer it to Krishna. But sometimes we take bhoga, food that's not offered to Krishna. It affects the consciousness. Most of the time I take prasad, but occasionally there's, you know, sometimes you get into a circumstance and then you eat something and it's not offered to Krishna. If you do it too much, it will affect your consciousness. And we see, like Mahabharata, you know, the example was given of Bhishma, Prabhupada points out, it was because he was taking contaminated food that his consciousness became contaminated. It affects the consciousness, especially if you're not a strong devotee. If you're a strong devotee, then you can get purified. Even one time Prabhupada was on the train. He was going through India. They stopped at one platform. Prabhupada looked out the window. They were cooking kachoris. Prabhupada liked kachoris. So he said to one of the devotees, go and get me kachoris. So they went and brought kachori, they brought back. Prabhupada was eating. And then one devotee said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, how can you eat that? It's not cooked by a devotee, not offered to Krishna. Prabhupada said, if they cook it in front of you and it is hot, right? And he said, and if you pay for it, you clear the karma, and then you can. Well, not like Prabhupada was doing that all the time. It wasn't like, you know, just Prabhupada just eating anything like that. But he was traveling across India. Maybe there was not so much facility. So then occasionally, but Prabhupada said, it has to be cooked fresh in front of you. And when you pay for it, then you nullify the karma. So it means on occasion. Right? You should not make it a regular habit. Too much cornflakes will disturb your consciousness. Too much will disturb. Another important point is you have to be strict on the kadashi. Now I've seen over the years, some devotees are not strict on the kadashi. It says that if you eat the grains on the kadashi, the mind becomes wicked. I've seen, you know, devotees, they're not strict and they have problems. They become critical of others, and I've seen.
Probably when you go to see one salt with them, you know, salt that should be used, only
Egadasi
salt or normal salt.
Was it made of Kodashi salt?
Yeah, that's one salt called Egadasi salt. That's called Sendanamak. Sendanamak.
Well, what's wrong with the rest of the salt?
Rest of the salt can be treated, or normal salt can be treated.
Well, it's salt, then what's the problem? Salt's on a grain.
Apparently they sometimes mix grain powder with the salt, which is why they basically sort of say that this particular salt called sindhu, they use...
It's pure. Yeah, it's we don't use that salt anyway.
Okay.
The salt we use is like a Murray River rock salt or something. Yeah.
What she's talking about is the Himalayan salt, you know, the pink?
The pink one, the Himalaya. That's pure.
That's apparently supposed to be very
pure. Because it's up there. But there's a problem with that salt. My wife told me there's something wrong with that salt. Because we were taking that, the Himalaya one. But she said there's something wrong. They're doing something to it. And they're doing something to it which is, I don't know, it's toxic or something.
Yeah.
Something. I have to ask her what the thing is. But we stopped using that. We started using an Australian one from the Murray River. She sourced one. And it's... apparently it's more pure. They're wrecking everything in Kali Yuga. Seriously, they're wrecking everything. Even normal salt, because they're getting it from places, but the places are contaminated. just like the fish, we don't eat fish. But now the fish in the ocean, you know, they're pulling out of the ocean, but one in four fish has too much plastic fiber in the fish. So people are becoming more sick. So something about the salt, it's getting mixed with a lot of plastics now. So you have to be careful also. You know, sea salt may be mixed with the plastics.
So what is the name of the salt?
Ask my wife. Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but she sourced it out. She said even the Himalaya salt was a problem now, something about it.
Mm.
But I don't know what it is. It's a problem with Kali Yuga, they reckon everything.
It's just changing everything at the moment. There's nothing left.
You can't have anything anymore.
Except prasad.
Yeah, prasad, I mean, God knows what we've got. See, the thing is, anything that comes in a packet means it's processed. And if something is processed, right, it will have negative effects on your body. And when you read the ingredients, if you don't know what the ingredient is, if you read like a list of ingredients, you don't know what it is, why are you putting it in your body? You know, even I do it, like sometimes I eat something processed, but not very much. I hardly eat processed food, you know, only, you know, whole foods, which are cooked. Yeah. And even that's all becoming contaminated. It's becoming more and more difficult in Kali Yuga. As much as possible, try to eat things. Especially processed things which comes from Asia. You know, India has problems now. China especially.
They're coloring things.
Yeah, coloring things and even some of the items which they're telling you are that item, it's actually something else. And a lot of the foods which come from Asia and that kind of thing, a lot of the noodles. Yeah, especially like the 2-minute noodles. I don't know if anyone eats that. You know, 2-minute noodles. They're quite toxic. You know. And then even like other noodles coming from, it's hard now. We're trying to source more and more things from Australia now. Australia's a little bit safer at the moment. It's going to be difficult for our kids.
We said that Charyamrita is more powerful than Ganges water.
Jagannath Ram said that.
But Ganges water is also Charyamrita.
So I don't know why he said it. Bhagavatam says that. Bhagavatam says Bhagavatam.
Ganges water is Charyamrita.
Ganges says
Bhagavatam. It came from washing lotus feet of water.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It means that it's the consciousness you do it in. Like if you bathe in the Ganga, and Ganga can give you, it says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Ganga can give you Krishna prana. But she's all powerful. Ganga is all powerful. So we can't say like Charyamrita is more powerful than Ganga because as you're saying, they're the same. Yeah. You know, if there's a statement there, we can reconcile how those things are. Ganga is Charyamrita. That's the point. Okay, seeing her sons return from death and then depart again, Saintly Devaki was struck with wonder. O king, she concluded that this was all simply an illusion created by Krishna. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Soul, the Lord of unlimited valor, performed countless pastimes just as amazing as this one. O descendant of Bharata. Sri Suta Goswami said, this pastime, enacted by Lord Murari, whose fame is eternal, totally destroys the sins of the universe and serves as the transcendental ornament for his devotees' ears. Anyone who carefully hears or narrates this pastime, as recounted by the venerable son of Vyas, will be able to fix his mind in meditation on the Supreme Lord and attain to the all auspicious kingdom of God. It's a very powerful benediction. Stuti Phal. So the point is that Krishna Katha will purify the heart of all material contamination. That's why we have to hear Krishna Katha as much as possible. So Prabhupada ki.